Night Bible study, adult Bible study. We're glad that you are with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. We're going to begin in a few minutes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you want to find that. Glory to God. On Wednesday nights, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been particularly talking about the Holy Spirit within and the Holy Spirit upon us. Amen. You know, in John 14, verses 16 through 17, Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter," New King James says, "another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and He will be in you." Notice it says He'll be in you. But then in Acts chapter 1, there's other scriptures, but then in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power." Now He's talking to believers here. They've already been born again. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth." Praise God. So like we said, on Wednesday nights, we've been studying the dual working of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. Amen. And this is actually part 9, so we're down the road. Glory to God. But in the new birth, the Spirit of God baptizes us into the body of Christ. He moves in our spirits. We are the temple of God. Amen. Greater is He that's in us and He that's in the world. But the Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, and He helps us to grow and develop in the fruit of the Spirit. But there is another experience, a separate work of the Spirit called being baptized in the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God comes upon us. See, He's in us, but now He comes upon us and endues us with power from on high. He gives us supernatural ability and supernatural strength, glory to God. So the Spirit within is for the purpose of fruit bearing. Amen. He develops the fruit of the Spirit. He develops character in our lives. That is, if we listen to Him and follow after Him. The Spirit upon us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for service, to go out and be supernaturally equipped and enabled to help other people. And we've seen that when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, now, again, this is part 9, okay? We've said that when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that we are given the ability to speak in tongues. Acts 2:4 says, "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance." Can you say amen? Amen. And so we talked a lot about that and how to be filled with the Spirit and hindrances to be filled with the Spirit. There are 5 incidents of people being filled with the Spirit in the book of Acts. And we saw they were filled and they received the Holy Ghost and how they spoke in tongues. And so we're at a point in our teaching where we are looking at the purposes and value of speaking in other tongues. Amen. I remember way, way back, all the way back in Tifton, Georgia, this girl talking to me and saying, "Well, what's the purpose of it? What benefit of it is? You don't even know what you're saying." Praise God. Well, there's another way to look at it. We'll get into that as we go along. Praise God. Matter of fact, hang in there with me because we're going to do some teaching. But then as we get into this a little bit, I'll give you some examples that will really open the eyes of your understanding, help you see some things. But the Apostle Paul said, you know, what good is it? You know, one thing I said, well, you know, 1 Corinthians 14 says when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. She said, "That's so selfish." Amen. We'll get into why it's important that you edify yourself. How many know you can't give unless you're blessed yourself? "Such as I have, give I thee." And I can't edify you. I can't help you. I can't bless you if I'm not first edified and blessed myself. Glory to God. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, Paul said, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all." Amen. So let's read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And keep in mind, we pointed this out, but keep in mind, we glean and learn some wonderful things about the gifts of the Spirit and their operation, and particularly about tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But what Paul is doing is he is actually correcting the misuse of the gifts of the Spirit and the operation of tongues in a church setting, in a public assembly. But in teaching about the misuses, we get some great understanding about the purposes and values of it in our own individual prayer lives. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts." I can't tell you how many times I've heard over the year people come along and they say, "Well, you know, you take the gifts, I'll take the love." That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Praise God. But especially that you may prophesy in the church. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Well, is there any value in speaking unto God? Well, when you pray in tongues, you're praying to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Amen. Glory to God. Verse number 2 says, when we are speaking in tongues, we're speaking to God. Glory to God. We're speaking mysteries, and we'll get into that a little bit. We're speaking mysteries in the Spirit. Mysteries. So tongues are a supernatural means of communication with God. Glory to God. It's interesting that, you know, when you pray in tongues, you're praying out of your spirit. Later on, we're going to read where in the Amplified Bible it says, when I pray in tongues, my spirit by the Holy Spirit prays. See, that you're praying out of your spirit. And, you know, those words float up and then they get connected to your tongue. And so you're praying, but the words don't come out of your mind. They come out of your spirit by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives your spirit words to speak, and then you speak them with your tongue. So it's interesting. I know of different examples where somebody was in the hospital. Maybe they had a stroke. Maybe they had this. For whatever reason, they couldn't talk. They couldn't get their tongue connected to their brain. They could write and they could think, but for whatever was causing the problem, you know, they couldn't talk. But yet this same person would lie there in bed and pray in other tongues. Because see, it was coming out of their spirit, not out of their head. And so they could pray in tongues, but they couldn't pray out of their mind. And thank God most of those people were divinely healed and then could talk, praise God. So, but anyway, we're praying mysteries. What is a mystery? A mystery is a hidden truth. It's something that you don't see. Now listen, it's not the hidden truths of God. If you go back and read in Corinthians, is they're not hidden from us. They're hidden for us. But sometimes we just don't see things that we need to see. Sometimes so when we pray in other tongues, we're praying these hidden mysteries out, so to speak, praying things that need to be prayed for, praying so that we'll get the revelation of things that we don't see that we need to see, that we'll get the direction and wisdom that we need to see, but we don't see. But praying in tongues helps us to get those revelations. Amen. And so as we are praying in tongues, then our ability to see and understand these things that we need to see is enhanced and heightened so that we do see and understand. I mean, if your child's having some kind of problem and you just can't figure out what it is, you don't know what's going on, it's hidden to you, you know, I mean, with your mind and your understanding, but as you're praying in tongues, all of a sudden the Spirit of God begins to reveal hidden things to you, things that you cannot know in your mind, things that you do not see and understand, and all of a sudden you see it and you understand it. Would that be helpful? Well, that's just one application of what he's talking about. But bottom line is we're praying in tongues, then our ability to see and understand these hidden truths is enhanced and heightened so that we do see and understand and so that revelation comes to us. Revelation is facilitated and made easier because we prayed in tongues. So there is tremendous value in this supernatural means of communication with God far beyond what we have ever imagined or realized. I want to say that again. There is tremendous value in this supernatural means of communication with God far beyond what we have ever imagined or realized. Some of these reasons will become clearer as we go along. So when it comes to the value of praying in tongues, verse number 4 says, amen, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Well, edifies means to build up or to charge. You edify or charge yourself. You know, because we value and need our cell phones. You know, we like our cell phones, but we live in a day and age where you need a phone, you need a cell phone, and it gives you the ability to do a lot of worthwhile things and good things. And because we like them, because we need them, what do? We make sure they're charged up. I mean, you probably got several chargers. You probably got chargers. How many have chargers in your cars and chargers at home? And sometimes people have quick chargers. And every night when you go to bed, you make sure you charge your phone and you buy portable chargers. You buy chargers to put in your car. I got a charger I can use on my motorcycle, praise God. Why? Because cell phones can do a variety of things for us that are needed and valuable. Some things aren't valuable, but you know some things are valuable to us. But only if they're charged up. You know, if that phone's not charged up, it won't do you the least bit of good whatsoever. Well, how much more? How much more should we as Christians make sure that our spiritual batteries are charged up, are always charged up? Amen. You know, Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. You could translate that, because truer to the Greek, it says, stay full with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. You know, in the book of Acts, they were filled with the Spirit. But that same group, a couple of days later, says, and they were all filled with the Spirit. Well, I thought they got filled with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. They did, but they got refilled in Acts, in the, you know, later on in the book. See, there's one initial infilling, but there are many refillings. D.L. Moody, you know, people ask him and said, why do you talk about getting filled with the Spirit over and over and over and over again? He said, because I leak. Amen. So you have to stay full. You have to be refilled. Glory to God. How many of you have a Keurig at your house, coffee maker? Well, that's nice, because you can, you know, you pour in the water and you can, I don't know, how many cups will that make? 7 or 8 cups without having to put more water in. And that's convenient. But sooner or later, you got to refill that thing. So here at the church, because we have the teachers, those teachers drink a lot of coffee. Doggone teachers. You know, we have teachers and we have church staff. And so when I go over there, we used to have a great big bun professional coffee maker with all that. But now we just have a Keurig. And so when I go over there, every time I make coffee, you know, I just don't take out. I put something back in. I'll fill it back up just to make it easy. Margaret says, I wish you'd do that at home. But I do it here at church, you know, just to make it a little easier for people. Praise God. Because you got to put something back in. Amen. Praise God. You need to stay filled with the Spirit. And one of the best ways to stay filled with the Spirit is to regularly pray in tongues. Get this and understand this, because this will be true about everything we're going to say tonight. You can be baptized in the Holy Ghost and you can speak with other tongues. But if you hardly ever speak with other tongues, if you just do a few syllables once or twice a week, or, you know, and you don't regularly speak in tongues, then you're not going to be any difference in everyday reality as far as experiencing the benefits and value of speaking in tongues and of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's not going to be any difference between you and the guy down the street that says speaking in tongues is of the devil. How about that? Amen. So it's all important that we continue to pray in other tongues, and you'll see why as we go along. And W. Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Greek Words, as much as I've taught on this over the years, I never looked it up in Vine's, but he says this word edify means to build up, promoting spiritual growth. When you pray in tongues, you build yourselves up, and that promotes your spiritual growth. Is that valuable to you? Amen. So speaking in tongues done on a regular, consistent basis has great value, because it is a means of spiritual edification. So when I pray in other tongues, I'm being spiritually edified. I'm being edified. How do I know? Because God said so. I say it that way because it's spiritual edification. It's not mental edification. It's not emotional edification. You know, you may have some glorious times in prayer and praying in the Holy Ghost, but at other times it may be dry as toast. But when you're praying in tongues, you are building yourselves up spiritually because God said you are. It is not mental. It is not emotional. It is spiritual edification. Glory to God. So you won't necessarily feel like you're being built up spiritually, but you are. You are. Glory to God. It's not a feeling. It's not mental. It's not emotional. So you know you are because God said so. Amen. And then you'll discover. You may not feel it while you're praying, but you'll discover as you live life, in the day-to-day operations of life, as you're dealing with somebody on the job, as you're dealing with your spouse, as you're needing to hear from God, as you need that power that the Bible talks about and to witness to somebody or to talk to somebody, you'll discover that as you go out in day-to-day life, that strength and that edification is there that would not be there had you not prayed in tongues. You follow that? That power. What does power mean? It means supernatural ability. You should receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That supernatural ability and strength and help will be there when you need it. Glory to God, you have power and ability that you would not have had if you hadn't have prayed in other tongues. You follow that? Glory to God. It's kind of like, you know, we don't, you know, when you go home and you just on a regular basis, you eat reasonably healthy meals and you get a good night's sleep. You don't wake up in the middle of the night saying, oh man, my body is being strengthened. This is good for the health of my body. This is doing me good to sleep. This is doing me good to eat. But you know, when you go out and work the next day and you need mental energy or physical energy because you are eating a good, healthy diet and exercising and getting sleep, then you recognize that strength and that power and that health is there. You follow me? If you don't follow me, do this. Tomorrow, eat a donut for lunch. Amen. Eat a Snickers bar and a Coca-Cola for supper, and then sleep about an hour and a half, and then see how you feel the next day. Huh? You see, no. See, so that's what happens when you're praying in tongues. You may not feel it at the moment, but it'll be there later. And then in Jude 20, you know, says when we pray in the Spirit, we build ourselves up. We edify ourselves. We build ourselves up on our most holy faith. So praying in tongues stimulates. Everybody say stimulates. Stimulates our faith. And so men like Smith Wigglesworth, men like Brother Hagin, and many, many other people that have been mightily used of God, tremendous power in their lives, and God used them mightily, have said, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but this is an accurate paraphrase. Many men have said, you can't edify and bless and help others unless you are first edified. But when you are edified, because you've spent time praying in tongues, then you can go out and edify and help and bless others. In other words, you'll go out with power to help others you didn't have. But you now have it. Why? Because you were praying in tongues. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when you make a regular practice of praying in tongues as a Spirit-baptized believer, you appropriate or release supernatural power or ability that is available to you as a Spirit-baptized believer. And that's a very powerful thing and a wonderful reason why we should speak in other tongues. Verse number 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, talking about praying in tongues, "For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified." Now he's talking about in church, you know, if I just stood up here and prayed in tongues for 30 minutes while you sit there and looked at me, it wouldn't do a thing in the world for you, but it would edify me. But he says, the fact of the matter is when you pray in tongues, you give thanks well. You are effectively praising God and you are worshiping God in a good way, in a right way. And so here's another benefit of tongues. Amen. Now, so again, he's correcting misuses if you read all of it. If you speak in tongues at church but don't interpret what's being said, it wouldn't edify others. Now, that doesn't mean in an atmosphere of corporate worship where we all got our hands lifting, we're all praising God and worshiping God and talking out loud. Everybody's saying, you know, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, glory to God, I love you, Lord. When I'm doing that on the front row, a lot of times I'm going, or I'm singing in other tongues, but I'm not drawing attention to myself and I'm worshiping God. That's a different thing. Amen. But he says, so we do that in worship. I understand that. But his point is, in your private devotions, when you speak in tongues, you give thanks well, you offer up worship that's spiritual. Glory to God. Andrew Womack, in his Bible commentary, says this. He says, this is a very powerful benefit of speaking in tongues. When we speak in tongues, we are praising God. And since we are praising from our spirits, we don't experience the hindrances that are present when we pray from our minds. We are giving perfect praise unto God without the limitations of the human language. See, praying in tongues does bypass your mind, but that's not a negative thing. That's a positive thing for a lot of reasons, because your peanut brain is limited. But when the Holy Ghost gives you words to pray, He's not limited. And so sometimes you just don't have the vocabulary to express your love for God, but the Holy Spirit does. Amen. So that's what he's talking about here. We'll see more of that in a minute. We are giving perfect praise unto God without the limitations of human language or thought. If there were no other benefits associated with speaking in tongues, this would be more than enough reason to seek the gift. Can you say amen? So here's something from Brother Hagin. You know, they did this book, Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. Everything you want to know about speaking in tongues kind of covers it A to Z from the very beginning to some serious things. And they did this after he passed away, but it came from his teachings. But in this book, just to give you an example, he says this. Hallelujah. To the right page here. Speaking in tongues will not only make you more aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, it will also aid you in worshiping God. In the process, your spirit will become more sensitive to the things of God, and your taste for natural things will be affected, even things that aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves. Let me give you an illustration. For instance, in the years I was a pastor, we only had a radio. There was no television in those days. Our parsonage was next door to the church, and I remember coming into our home many times after spending time at the church, worshiping God in the Spirit, praying with other tongues. Sometimes when I walked in the door, music would be playing on the radio, and I remember how it affected me. My wife and I never listened to a bunch of junk on the radio, nor do we watch junk on TV, nor did we watch junk on TV later on, as far as that is concerned. But certainly there's a lot of junk on both radio and television. But I discovered something in those years about the effect praying and worshiping God in tongues had on me. Sometimes after a time of intimate fellowship with God, I'd come back home so conscious of His presence, and my wife would be cleaning the house. Now, she wouldn't be playing, you know, country music. She was playing gospel music. She said, so she had the radio on while she was cleaning the house, playing so-called gospel music on the radio in the background. It wasn't that the music was bad. That kind of music is good, clean entertainment. But to me, a lot of it sounded like someone was beating on the lid of a bucket. Gospel music. Some of the songs weren't even scriptural. I couldn't even listen to that music because I'd been in the holy, hallowed presence of the Holy Spirit, and I was highly conscious of His presence within me. You know, I know when contemporary Christian music first came out, and I'd tell people, look, just because it's not your style of music doesn't mean it's wrong. Some of these songs are extremely anointed and powerful. Some of them are not. But it doesn't matter whether it's quartet singing. It doesn't matter if it's country gospel. It doesn't matter if it's modern day praise and worship. It doesn't matter if it's contemporary Christian music. If you'll go pray in tongues and get in the holy, hallowed presence of God and come out, then some of those songs will just irritate your spirit because they got the right vibe and the right groove for that particular style of music, but you recognize they ain't no Holy Ghost on it whatsoever. On the other hand, you might be into rockabilly, you know, and you hear some old-fashioned country song, but you recognize, man, that's anointed. That's powerful. I was right here in this church, and somebody, they were having a funeral. I wasn't doing the funeral. Somebody else was doing the funeral, and this girl got up, and she had a, you know, she could carry a tune, but she wasn't necessarily what you'd call a soloist, and she just started singing this old hymn. And, you know, it's a funeral, and the minister's up there, and he's doing his job. But I'm telling you, when she started singing that old-fashioned hymn, the Holy Ghost just fell on this place. Because it was anointed. Glory to God. Amen. He says, please don't understand, I didn't say that kind of entertainment is wrong. I just wanted to get the thought over to you that speaking with other tongues is a devotional gift given to help you worship and praise God. Worshiping God in tongues will make you more conscious of the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. It will make you hungrier for God and less drawn to things of the natural world. You know, in other words, you're saying, well, I'm just so tempted and my flesh pulls on me so much. Spend more time praying in tongues. That strength to overcome will be there that you didn't have. See, this is the Holy Spirit. Somebody says, well, I got to get closer to God before I get filled with the Holy Ghost. No, you need the Holy Ghost because He'll help you overcome those things in your life that are bugging you, that are wrong in your life. Amen. Amen. Worshiping God in tongues will make you conscious. It will make you hungrier for God and less drawn to the things of the natural world. Howard Carter, everybody that teaches on the gifts of the Spirit comes from Howard Carter, whether they know it or not. A lot of people don't know it. Howard Carter was a pioneer of the Pentecostal movement and the general supervisor of the Assemblies of God in Great Britain many years ago. He was founder of the oldest Pentecostal Bible school in the world and was recognized in full gospel circles worldwide as an outstanding teacher. It's interesting. Here's Howard Carter, world famous, tremendous Bible teacher. He's the one, if you know anything at all about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where those gifts are divided, 9 gifts of the Spirit, we divide them into 3 different categories. You follow me? Gifts of power, gifts of revelation, utterance gifts. He's the one that first did that. And so Howard Carter was tremendously used of God, a contemporary of Smith and Wigglesworth. It's interesting, just a side note, but Lester Sumrall traveled with Howard Carter quite a bit. He said it was interesting. We never talked about finances. He said we'd be in the middle of, you're talking about the 1940s, being in the middle of places in the Far East that were really backwards compared to today, way backwards compared to today. And he said, we never talked about funds, but Howard would say, okay, we're going to leave and we're going to go to such and such city tomorrow. And he said, you had your money or you stayed there. And he said, there were times I didn't have any money whatsoever, but I packed my bags and got myself ready, because he's a preacher of faith and Howard Carter's a preacher of faith. And he said, the money always came. But this is what is interesting. Howard Carter is this well-known, tremendous man of God. And Lester Sumrall at that time was just a young evangelist. But Howard Carter recognized the call of God on Lester Sumrall. And he said, I would do the night meetings, the evangelistic crusade meetings, and Howard Carter would do the afternoon teachings. In other words, he didn't just say, you do the afternoon teaching or the morning teaching. He goes, no, that's what I'm called to do. You do what you're called to do, because he recognized the Spirit of God on him. See, that was wise, wasn't it? But anyway, Howard Carter said, he's got a little book on just questions and answers on the gifts of the Spirit. It's really tremendous. But Howard Carter made a statement about the purpose of speaking in tongues that I never forgot. He said, we must never forget that speaking with tongues is not only the initial evidence of the Holy Spirit's infilling, but it is a continual experience for the rest of one's life to assist us in the worship of God. Then he went on to say, speaking in tongues is a flowing stream that should never dry up and that will enrich one's life spiritually. Those of us who continually pray and worship God in other tongues experience this spiritual enrichment provided by the supernatural gift. And then here's something. It kind of goes along with our point here of you give thanks well, but it really makes some different points here. But I thought this was interesting because, I don't know how many messages I've heard Brother Hagin preach. I've been in over 500 live services, something like that. But here's something I never heard him say in a live meeting. And it goes to what we were talking about earlier and to this point. But he said, Acts 10 gives us another scriptural purpose for speaking in tongues. It is a means by which we can magnify God. But listen to the way he means that. Acts 10, 45 and 46, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Notice that phrase in verse 46, speak with tongues and magnify God. Well, the word magnify means to make something bigger. But can God be made any bigger than he already is? From his standpoint, of course, the answer is no. But from our standpoint, God can be magnified or made larger in our estimation, in our minds. And speaking with tongues is one means whereby he can become bigger to us. I noticed this particular purpose of speaking in tongues early on in my ministry. Before I was filled with the Spirit, I was still a teenager between 18 and 20. Yet I already was a pastor of a small denominational church. And of course, I had all the tests and temptations of any young person. But I noticed a change after I was filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues and began to pray in tongues every day. When I'd face those same tests and temptations, I had an added power to pass the test and resist the temptation that I didn't have before. You shall receive power, supernatural ability, and strength and wisdom once the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we talked a while ago about you edify yourself, and you have the ability to overcome things that bypasses your little peanut brain that you don't know that you need to know. And so he says, like we were talking about a while ago, all of a sudden, you have this ability that you didn't have before to minister effectively, and even in your own life, to overcome. Is that valuable to you? Of course it is. Before I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I'd just skim by. But afterward, it became much easier to live in, to live as an overcomer in those areas. Why? Because I was magnifying God. He became bigger in my life. He said, so I pastored a little community church. I had told no one except privately. One man, I had received the Holy Ghost. The church didn't know it. But after a while in my congregation, people began to say to me, something has happened to you. You've had more power than you used to have. When you preach now, your words are so powerful, it almost knocks us off the pew. You see, after I received the Holy Ghost and started speaking in other tongues, Jesus was magnified in my preaching. He became bigger in my life. People should say the same thing about you when they look at your life. Just determine to pray every day in other tongues and let God be magnified more and more in your life. As a result, you'll begin to walk in His power to an extent you have not yet seen. People begin to notice the difference and they'll want to have what you have. Can you say amen? Amen. And then with our time left here, here is perhaps the greatest benefit and advantage to speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. Look at that. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding, my mind is unfruitful. You don't know what you're saying. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. Now, I really like the Amplified Classic Bible here. It says this. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. The Holy Spirit's not praying, you're praying, but the Holy Spirit is giving those utterances to your spirit, not to your spirit. My spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. The New Amplified Bible in verse 14 says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind does not understand what my spirit is praying. And then if we'll back up and read verse number 2 again, for he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning because in the spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Amen. Well, why does that help you, see? Because number one, your mind doesn't even know it needs prayer. Do you know that your child or your friend or you know your pastor or some government official or some missionary that you know, they could be having problems and your mind doesn't even know they're having a problem. You know who knows? God. And so the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to bypass your brain and pray about things that you don't even know need praying about, but they do need to be prayed about. And then another aspect of this is sometimes, you know, it's hidden to you. I know, you know, there's times that, you know, in my own personal life or with the church, you know, or in counseling that I just didn't know how to handle a situation. I didn't know what to do. It was hidden to me. But who was it not hidden to? God, the Holy Spirit. And as I prayed in tongues, all of a sudden that hidden truth was revealed to me. Made known to me, but I had to first pray about it in the Holy Spirit before I got the revelation, the understanding. Sometimes that's true of just a doctrine in the Word of God. You know, somebody's preaching on faith, and you know, we were at Cherry Jones' meeting, her annual meeting, her Christmas dinner meeting. I don't know, at 30 or 40 of us there at the Dennis and Lynn's house, and one lady got up and testified. Sherry kept talking about this particular truth, and she kept talking about this particular truth, and she said, I didn't understand it, and I couldn't get it, and I didn't see it, and I didn't get it, and I didn't understand it. But she just kept listening and listening and listening and listening, and then all of a sudden one day the light came on, and she got revelation. That ever happened to anybody? Well, one of the best ways to help you get light and revelation on spiritual truths, spiritual principles, you know, the word that you just can't get a hold of is by spending time praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are you following me? Praise God. And so your mind is not involved. It doesn't know what you're saying. Somebody says, well, what good is that? Well, here's what's good about bypassing your brain. Your minds can think wrong. Even though you're sincere, your minds can think wrong. Our thoughts can get in the way of God's perfect will. Our minds are limited. Amen. And so praying in tongues bypasses our minds and allows us to pray for the unknown, for things we don't even know that to pray about. And to pray according to the perfect will of God. Amen. And to pray effectively without any wrong thinking or without any selfishness. Amen. And so you know, I know when it comes to being led by the Spirit, so many people confuse their desires with what God wants them to do. Because I've got this strong desire. But it doesn't, just because you have a strong desire to do something doesn't mean it's God's will for you to do it. I mean, something good. No, you've got to distinguish. And the Holy Ghost helps you distinguish between your desires and what's really the will of God for your lives. So when we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit gives us the words to pray. And that's beneficial to us because our minds, our thoughts, our emotions, our own desires, our limited understanding gets in the way. But we bypass that when we pray in other tongues. Amen. Praying in tongues eliminates that. Praying in tongues eliminates selfishness. Praying in tongues eliminates your own desires getting in the way of the perfect will of God. Your prayers in the Spirit are God-given prayers that eliminates selfishness in prayer. It eliminates what you don't know. It eliminates praying things that's not really scriptural. Listen to me carefully now, because you can be sincere, but sincerely wrong in praying for your kids. You can unintentionally pray wrong things for them or anybody else. I'm just saying that because that grabs our attention, our kids. That's important to us. You can pray things that are not according to God's perfect will. But that does not happen when you pray in tongues for them. Amen? And it enables you to pray for the unknown. To pray for things your mind doesn't even know to pray about. And sometimes your mind knows a little bit, but only in a limited measure. You know somebody's going through a hard time, but you don't know what's in their heart. You don't know what demonic attack they're facing. You can't see, you know, what they're wrong thinking. You can't see any of that, but the Holy Ghost knows. And He will give you in tongues the ability to pray correctly and accurately and pinpoint their problem and deal with things that your mind knows absolutely nothing about. For instance, you could have a burden. We all understand this terminology. You could have a burden to pray for somebody. You could have a burden to pray for a missionary. You could even pick up in the Spirit. You know, you don't know it in your head, but you could pick up in your spirit, I need to pray for this missionary. I'm having a burden to pray for them because they're facing some kind of danger. Well, you can pray with your mind, with your understanding. You can pray, God, protect them. Amen. God, your word says in Psalms 91, you give your angels charge over us, lest we dash our foot against a stone. You can pray for them to be protected. But listen, the Spirit knows some group is planning to kidnap them. You know, that happens with missionaries. They kidnap them and hold them for ransom. The Holy Spirit knows some government official is fixing to make things very difficult for them because of their laws. You know, he's plotting against them. He doesn't even like Christians, and he's trying to get them out of the country or make it very difficult for them. Or, you know, a poisonous snake is on the jungle trail they're walking. You know, that's not so far-fetched. Dennis and Jenny Cook, you know, were in Panama. Dennis went home to be with the Lord. But all those years, they've been there, you know, almost 40 years. And they walk those trails going, you know, sometimes 10 and 12 miles. There's tigers in that jungle. And Dennis will tell you stories, make the hair on the back of your head stand up, you know. If he said, you know, you can tell you're being stalked by a tiger. You can hear him over there. There's things in the natural you're supposed to do and not do. You know, like fall to the ground and suck your thumb and whine like a baby is probably not the right thing to do. But there's things you could in the natural you should do and things you shouldn't do. But, you know, he'd believe God and trust God. Amen. But so, you know, their support here, you know they're in danger because somebody's about to spread a vicious, evil rumor about them that's going to cut off their support. You know, John G. Lake, that we all admire for the power of God, you know, that most of his, toward the end of his life there, or a certain portion of his life, they almost went under, and he literally had people on the field starved to death because their finances were so cut off because people spread lies and rumors about here back in the United States, and people believed that and didn't send him any more money. But see, I'm just giving you an example. The Holy Spirit knows all of those kind of things. And when you pray in the Spirit, your mind doesn't even know that's going on. But when you pray in the Spirit, instead of just saying, well, you know, God bless them and God help them and, you know, God be with them. No, the Holy Spirit's, oh my God, you're actually praying about it. You know, you stupid snake, you get out of there and you move out of there. And in the name of Jesus, you know, you're praying about things that actually make a difference in their lives. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. See, you don't know any of this, but the Holy Spirit does. You don't know that that your 7-year-old daughter, that somebody is about to say something to them on the playground or even, you know, that could wound their little spirits or cause them to think thoughts that are not true, that could bother them emotionally and for years to come. But the Holy Ghost does. You don't know that your 10-year-old boy on the playground is some 17-year-old is about to introduce him to drugs or some 15-year-old is about to show him pornography for the first time. And so things into his mind, into his life, but the Holy Ghost knows. You're given the ability to bypass your brain and pray about things that your mind doesn't even know to pray about. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Isn't that powerful? Amen. So you don't know some friend of yours is dealing with extreme depression. You don't know that somebody's dealing with suicide thoughts necessarily, but the Holy Ghost does. And in yielding to the Spirit, you can pray accurately and powerfully and scripturally according to the perfect will of God without any selfishness on your part, without any of your own ideas getting involved with that prayer about such matters and help bring about protection and healing and deliverance to the person. Romans 8:26 says the Spirit helps our infirmities. Infirmities there doesn't mean sickness and disease. Infirmity means our weaknessness, our powerlessness, our inability to produce results. And how does He do that? He doesn't pray for you. He gives you, you groan and gives you utterance and groanings in the Spirit. Glory to God. Amen. He doesn't pray for us. He helps us pray accurately and correctly with groanings. One Greek scholar said, you can read that later, we're out of time, but one Greek scholar said this means groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech or your regular kind of speech, which includes tongues. In other words, you're praying for them with other tongues. You're bypassing your little brain. You're praying about things that you don't even know that need to be prayed about, or maybe you do know they need to be prayed about, but that scripture says you don't know how to pray for as you ought. You don't fully know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit does, and it makes a difference in people's lives. And so there are so many wonderful stories I could tell you along these lines. This one comes to mind because this is an outstanding one. Brother J.R. Goodwin and his wife were outstanding pastors and filled with the love of God and the power of God and taught faith, you know, before there was anything called the faith message and you know, believed in the healing power of God and were very sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the things of God in that realm. They were Assembly of God pastors, and so one night they went to bed and Brother Goodwin said, I was awakened and my wife beside me was praying in the Spirit and praying in tongues and groaning in the Spirit. So I realized that she was, you know, making intercession for somebody. And so I tried to pray with her, but he said I kind of halfway fell asleep, and that happened 2 or 3 times. And I finally just said, let's just get out of bed. What's going on here? What's going on? She goes, I don't know. I just sensed somebody, one of our church members, somebody in our church is in danger. I mean, they're in danger. Their very life is in danger. So they just begin to pray about it and pray about it and pray about it. Mostly they're praying in other tongues because they don't know who it is. They don't know what they don't know which church member it is. They do have that sense. You know, sometimes you pick up certain things. They have this sense, you know. And so I heard about this. I just read this story today about a man that was praying for somebody else. And just all of a sudden, he saw this pastor's face, and he said, don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. He said that out. He's praying in tongues, but he heard himself say out loud, don't leave yet. Don't leave yet. Don't leave. Didn't say don't leave, but don't leave yet. He later found out that man was about to leave the church. Long story short, he ended up staying for another 4 or 5 months, and the 4 or 5 months that he stayed, you know, made things much, 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 much better all the way around for everybody concerned. For a lot of, even financially, for everybody concerned, for a lot of different reasons. Well, he was picking that up in the Spirit, and he was helping that man as he prayed for him in the Spirit. Anyway, the Goodwins are praying and praying and praying, and they're not, you know, when you're praying like that, you get to a point where you get a release, where maybe you begin to sing in the Spirit, maybe you just begin to have joy, and the burden's lifted, and you know that whatever you've been praying about has been taken care of. But they weren't getting to that point. So finally, Brother Goodwin said to him, he said, well, let's just pray that whatever church member it is, that God will warn them. that God will warn them of this danger and make them aware of this danger so that they can take the precautionary steps or whatever to avoid it. You know, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And so that seemed good to them in the Holy Ghost, and so they begin to pray that way. You have to be led by the Spirit. They begin to pray that way, and they prayed along that way for a while, and then they had that release. They had that sense that it's been taken care of. Well, the next day, one of their members, he worked, you know, they're in Texas, and he worked on one of those big giant old rigs, you know, and all the mechanics and all the stuff on, I don't know, all the stuff they have. And he said he got to work that morning, and he said one man didn't come to work, and the supervisor, you know, his boss said, well, you know, their church member said, whatever his name was, said, you go up there and you take his place up there you do his job today. So he said, I began to climb the ladder because it was up on top of the thing. And he said, the man said, I got about halfway up there and I began to come back down. And he said, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. And his supervisor said, well, why not? He said, well, I don't know how to explain this. I don't know what you think about this. But he said, I had a dream last night. I had a dream that I came to work, that so-and-so wasn't here, and that you asked me to go up and take his place, and I went up there, and I hadn't been up there working but just a few minutes, and something went wrong with that equipment, and some piece of equipment swung down and chopped my head off. And so all the crew just laughed, you know. And another one of the members said, well, I'm not superstitious. I'll do it. I'll go. And so he climbed up on that ladder, and they just all went to work, not thinking anything about it. Just about 10 or 15 minutes went by, and all of a sudden something broke loose and went crazy up there and swung down and chopped this man's head off. And the man that didn't go up there, the you know, Brother Goodwin's church member that didn't go up there, he was actually, you know, working like this, and the guy's head landed on his back. Thank God they weren't just Spirit-baptized believers. These were Spirit-baptized believers that regularly practiced, they stayed full of the Holy Ghost, be filled with the Spirit, stay full of the Holy Ghost, and they regularly prayed in other tongues, and their prayer saved this man's life. You know, a side thought of that story? This man that got his head chopped off, he went to a denominational church just right catty-cornered from that Assembly of God church that didn't know about these things and didn't believe about these things and might even made fun of these things. They were good people. They loved the Lord. Somebody said, well, didn't God love that man just as much as he loved him? Yes, he did. But he needed somebody to pray. He needed somebody to pray. And there's no way you can pray in your mind about that because you don't know the future. You don't know what's going to happen. But the Holy Ghost needs to know it's going to happen. Knows it's going to happen. Knew it was going to happen. And you see that church doesn't mean they weren't lovely people and good people. Doesn't mean that pastor didn't love the Lord. But he didn't have this experience. He didn't pray in other tongues. And he didn't know how to pray that way. And so you could, and there's so many stories along these lines. I mean, just hours and hours and hours of stories along these lines. But whether we know what we're praying or not, whether we see what happens to the missionary or not, you can just know for a lot of reasons when you pray in tongues, it's very valuable to the person you're praying for. Because sometimes you're praying for other people, sometimes you're worshiping God, sometimes you're just building up yourselves in prayer. But if you do it regularly and consistently, it's as Howard Carter said, it's going to enhance your life spiritually. It's going to magnify God and give you supernatural strength and ability and power and the ability to pray effectively that you do not have unless you're spirit baptized and exercising the gift of praying in tongues on a regular basis. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I remember walking these floors one day about a pastor that was coming over here to talk to me. And boy, he was a little mad and he was a little irritated. But I thought, I've got twice as reason to be mad as he's got to be mad. And he was kind of, you know, at least on the outward surface, kind of bullied his own people at times. And, you know, in my flesh, I was like, you ain't going to bully me, boy. Wait till you get over here. Oh, you know, you ain't going to. But as I prayed in the Holy Ghost, all of that attitude left me. And I responded to him with tremendous love and did exactly what the Lord told me to do. And the man that was with him, you know, just he came in all fired up with his pastor too, gonna, you know. But they both just calmed down and the whole situation was diffused, and they left here feeling really, really good and really loved and with a good taste in their mouth. Isn't it better to walk in love? But a little bit of that walking in love was kind of hidden to me that day. But as I prayed in tongues, it helped me do what I needed to do. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.